And now it's time for the bullpen.
OMG, the bullpen.
It's the bullpen, everybody.
Mercy me, the bullpen.
Go team, go team.
Yes!
Yes, he's back. Back again. Well, we are. Tell a friend. Ba-da-da. Ba-ba-ba-ba-da-da. Bullpen. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry, I'm a bit hyper at the moment. We're going to start kicking things off here with a combination of news and Wall of Shame. Leading off things, my first entry into the Wall of Shame today is Grayson Allen tripped another player. Yes, he's a serial trippist. And for that, he's going into the Wall of Shame yet again. And the funny thing is he got suspended for a bit. I don't know if he's back yet or not. I should probably check that out. But I do know that he got suspended from Duke, from the basketball team by Duke. So
he came back and then tripped. Or is this the one where he tripped and then got suspended?
He tripped someone and then got suspended.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what you're talking
about. I was about to say if he had come back and then tripped somebody again. That would have been kind of hilarious, though.
That'd be really stupid, but yeah.
Yeah, but it would hilarious be funny. For me.
It would be funny.
Yeah.
And also, the Cowboys surprised everyone this year, and they clinched the NFC East and a number one seed in the NFC.
Booyah.
So the road to the Super Bowl, as far as the NFC goes through Dallas. And it was really a bit of a surprise, especially since they were bad enough that they got the fourth pick in the last draft. But they drafted well, really well, since they have two of the top rookies. For sure, the rookie of the year. I don't know if it's become official or not, but you know, Ezekiel Elliott rushing for over 1,600 yards. Yeah, I would say that's good for rookie of the year.
That should get you something.
Leading the league in rushing, no big deal.
That should get you something.
Yeah, it should. Yeah. Also, this was not just this week right here, but last week, a ref in the Ravens-Eagles game called pass interference on, quote, the white guy. And for that, he is going into the Wall of Shame as well. It's hilarious, though. You should find the video. Just type in ref calls pass PI on white guy. So funny. It's pass interference on the defense, on the white guy. It's so funny. Hilarious. And also that week in football, the Jaguars got a delay of game on the kickoff, which is the first time that's happened in 28 years.
So, way to make history.
Yes, that is shameful. But even more shameful, on another kickoff just this week, the Bills decided not to catch a kickoff from the Jets, and then they let the Jets recover it in the end zone for a touchdown. I don't know that that's ever happened before.
Sums up the Bills.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is they're 7-9, but that's such a Bills thing to do. Honestly, it's more of a Browns thing to do, but the Bills executed that to perfection.
It's in there.
It's DNA. Definitely up there. It's in their blood for sure.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah. This happened a few weeks ago, but we haven't been doing shows for a little bit because of winter break and scheduling conflicts and laziness. But during the BYU-USU women's basketball game, the referees were terrible. And they're going into the Wall of Shame because of how bad they were. They were bad enough that I almost got kicked out.
Yeah. And I don't blame you. It was a surprisingly, shockingly sloppy reffing.
Yeah, it was completely one-sided and just terrible. And I actually yelled out the F word as I was yelling at the ref. And so then they apparently talked to security, and security sent events people over to find me. And they couldn't figure out who had yelled it for the longest time, but when they narrowed it down between the two of us, and I was like, it was me. And so then this events girl was like, I'm sorry if that's sexist, but she was telling me how, no, she's she's able to throw me out of the game, and she can get a security guard to escort me out. But because there's 8 seconds left in the game, she's going to let it slide as long as I don't cause any more problems before the end of the oh, and the buzzer ring before she finished talking about what she was saying.
Plus, it would be bad to, you know, escort 10% of the people in the stadium out.
Right? And on top of that, like, if you're going to kick me out, like, I'll just walk out myself. I don't need you to escort me. I know where the exit is. But it was just, it was ridiculous. The refs were just terrible.
Yeah, travels and fouls. It's like, apparently it wasn't against the rules to do either of those things.
Well, if you were on BYU.
Yeah, yeah, true.
And you couldn't breathe on a BYU player without getting a foul. It was bad.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the women's team lost in that game.
Yeah.
Ended up not being close at the very end, but they had it was pretty close, like early in the fourth quarter. But BYU pulled away.
Well, they went on to beat Air Force the next week, which I was there for that, so that was cool.
Yeah, and we're gonna talk a little bit more about the women's and our men's teams as our main event today. But that's kind of that.
Cool.
Also, in the NFL, they decided that they were gonna create a spring league for NFL free agents, and there's gonna be 4 teams. So basically, people that can't get a job are going to have a chance to go out and compete in game situations and maybe make an impression and get signed, I guess is the purpose of it.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Draymond Green had a son. The word is that he came out kicking. So, hey. So, yeah. So he had a son a few weeks ago. It probably would have been better if we had done a show like shortly afterwards.
Oh, well, the joke was still good.
I thought so. It was very well. You know, he and Grayson Allen are probably going to get along nicely. Or very badly if they
heroes
end up being on opposing teams, which is more likely than not.
What if they're like, they're in a game matchup and they're tripping or kicking each other? And everybody else like, is like, you know,
everybody else is doing their thing, but they're just
and they're like in some corner, like
kicking and tripping each other. It'd be hilarious. Also, University of Idaho went 9-4 on the season, and they won the Idaho Potato Bowl 61-50 over Colorado State.
Gee.
So, props to them.
It's a shootout.
I think they're thinking about dropping down to Division II, but they're doing pretty well in the Sun Belt. My brother-in-law thinks that the Mountain West is trash because Colorado State wasn't very good, and then a couple other teams didn't play well in the bowl games. But let's be honest. Idaho would get their butt kicked most weeks in that one. And I even told him, Colorado State's not a good team. They just got in by virtue of having some even worse teams below them. But the top few teams, I think, are pretty good. I think San Diego State is pretty good. Boise State, I was surprised that they didn't really show up to their game. But at the same time.
But every other year, they're pretty good. So.
Yeah, they are. But my brother-in-law is very against Boise State being an Idaho alum and fan. Even though he lives right by Boise. He does not like Boise State.
Decisions.
Yeah, that's kind of my news stories and shame. What do you got for us, Evan?
We've got a couple of Wall of Shame entries. First one up, Cleveland Browns ownership, the Haslam family, sent out letters to season ticket holders apologizing for their 1-15 season, although expressing confidence in their coaching staff as they plead once again with Browns fans to be patient as they continue their decades-long rebuilding efforts. So welcome to the Wall of Shame for having to apologize for a 1-15 season Cleveland Browns. Other entry, we go back to the Bills, oddly enough, or hilariously enough, where Reggie Bush has become the first NFL running back to finish a season in negative yardage with 3 negative yards, which means that of all the people in this room, right now, every single one of us has more rushing yards in the National Football League.
This year,
I should say, than Reggie Bush. So we beat out a former Heisman candidate. That's pretty sweet. We got to celebrate this.
We're pretty good.
Yeah. We're not even injured. My knees are still there.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, put me in, coach.
Yeah.
I could get you 1 yard.
I can.
I might break down under that. I don't know, but.
I can hold at the line of scrimmage. I probably can.
I can get a yard. You know, put me behind an NFL team. I mean, you may have to take me out because I might get injured because there's some vicious hitters there, but I could get a yard.
I can flee. I'm very good at fleeing.
All right. Do you have any more?
No, those are it.
All right. Well, we're going to do something we haven't in a while. Man, things are going so great. I don't even think they could be any better.
There's no way we can screw this up.
Not even us.
Or can we?
It's doomsday time.
Doomsday scenarios left and right. All right. Oh, yes, it is doomsday time. We haven't done this in a while. I think it's been a couple months. But I definitely wanted to do it today.
We finally have enough new seasons upon us to...
Well, enough good options.
Yeah, to not do the same one.
Okay, so today we're going to doomsday the Cowboys. The Cowboys.
We're going straight because for the top.
It's really funny how braggish Cowboys fans are. You know, you don't hear from them year after year when they're not doing anything. But this year they have a good season. I think they had a fairly easy schedule, if we're being honest. But they took advantage of it, and they ended up 13-3, got the number one seed in the NFC. So they've had a really good year. I'm not going to take away from that. I do think that they may not have done quite as well had they played, you know, a few tougher opponents. I mean, you look at the Broncos' schedule. It was kind of brutal in spots. I think most of the people they played made it in the playoffs. Especially, you know, they had to play two division
the
opponents.
The AFC West, yeah. You know.
They had to play the Chiefs and the Raiders twice. And then they also played the Patriots. They played a bunch of different playoff teams. I think that their schedule is a bit tougher. I wonder.
Well, plus the NFC in general.
Yeah, I think that the NFC much in to general be desired is a little bit year. Weaker. But I guess we'll see how it plays out in the Super Bowl, whoever gets there. However, Cowboys, congrats on a great season, but we're about to doomsday yo ass.
Yeah.
So, the Cowboys, of course, got the bye. They're the number one seed. You're with me so far, right? That's not hard.
We're going to Dallas.
I mean, it's strange that they're in that position.
But we'll at least in Dallas for a while.
So the divisional round, they play the lowest seed in the NFC that advances. And we're going to go ahead and say that it is the Giants that advance. We say they beat the Packers. We say the Seahawks win their game against the Lions. So the Seahawks get to go play against the Falcons, and the Cowboys get to host the Giants, who have beaten them twice this year, both times they played. And so...
Dallas fans sweating
it out, but the Cowboys come out and they just roll all over top of the Giants and just crush them.
Well, they're excited. They're the number one seed. They're ready. They're pumped.
Yeah, and so Dallas fans are like, yes, finally we can not have this problem or whatever. We beat the team that actually legitimately beat us. The Eagles did beat them this week, but they also were playing backups and third stringers for most of the game anyway. Because it didn't really matter. They end up taking on the Giants. They beat the crap out of them. Say the Seahawks beat the Falcons. And then the NFC Championship, they are going down the field. There's 20 seconds left. They're about ready to kick a field goal. It's Dan Bailey. You know, he's basically automatic. It's a 30-yard field goal. Not too much. There's like 20 seconds left, but it's fourth down, and they're going to kick a field goal to take the lead. It's currently tied. So anyway, we're going to put it at the very end. They ran the time down, 4 seconds left, because that's usually when they call timeouts, and They line it up. Tam Bailey steps up to kick. Bobby Wagner jumps over the center and blocks the kick. And then...
Which is impressive.
Yes, he does it again. And the thing is picked up by Richard Sherman, and he runs it back for a touchdown as time expires to give the Seahawks the win.
Don't put a sorry player on him. Go Hawks.
And so, once again, the Cowboys find a way to muck it up in the playoffs. They find a way to lose on a field goal.
If there's a will, there is a way.
And nobody does it better than the Cowboys. If you are a Cowboys fan, feel free to send your hate mail to usubullpen@gmail.com.
See, that's particularly painful because they don't even get to the Super Bowl in that scenario.
Yeah.
See, at least when we doomed my Cubs, they at least by that time would have had a pennant, which is like...
Would you like, I'll take it.
I can live with that, but not even to get the NFC title. That stings a little bit worse.
The best part about the whole Cubs thing was that you were totally worried it was going to happen.
Yeah, it did look like it was going to happen.
Because, I mean, they were up in the ninth inning, and they let him come back and tie it. And then it looked like they were going to catch him again in extra innings.
Oh, yeah, because it was like... It was never fun for the last few innings.
Because you're like, that son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Would have been great.
Yeah.
But yes.
But this is even worse, though, because they don't even get to say, hey, you know, at least we won the NFC.
And then the fan who already got a tattoo for Super Bowl 51 yes. champions is going to have regret.
Yeah.
I mean, he effectively doomed their chances when he got the tattoo. Because you know that happens every time.
And they're pretty much always wrong.
Yeah. I don't know of an instance where someone got a tattoo prematurely and it worked out.
I haven't heard of it.
You don't hear about it. You'd think you'd hear about it like, yeah, I got this 2 weeks ago.
I just hope there was – part of me hopes there was someone with a Golden State Warriors tattoo.
Oh, I'm sure there was.
And they were up 3-1. He's like, okay, it's safe to go down and get this done.
Case in point, if you are a fan of a team and they got a chance to win the championship, do not get a tattoo of them being champions until they are.
Or don't get a Supersonics tattoo.
Or don't get a tattoo at
all.
Watch
them leave. Oh, that's true.
Yeah, but that's personal opinion.
Or at least on your face. Don't get it on the face.
But, yeah, so that was our doomsday scenario.
Brutal.
Brutal.
Ready or not, here comes the main event.
It's go time.
Yeah. It's the main event. So.
Highlight of the day.
We are going to talk about the men's and women's basketball teams for Utah State University right now. Starting out with the women's, because ladies first. So our women's team has actually had a pretty good start to the season. Kind of a rough patch recently, however. So they are currently sitting at 8-5, which is kind of tough, but also better than they have done in years past. More recent results, they beat UVU 56-45. They lost to BYU 60-40. We talked a little bit about that game earlier. They lost to Arizona 61-57. That's a team that... It's pretty good. They're 9-2, or at least they were at the time we played them. Anyway, so they're good. And then we lost to Boise State 76-56.
Sheesh.
And then beat Air Force 65-62. Now, interesting things to note. Boise State now is 11-1, or at least they were when they beat after they beat us. They may have played again since then. And then Air Force is now 2-10 because we beat them. So there's kind of been ups and downs lately for our women's team. I really feel like Rachel Brewster has kind of had a cold streak as far as shooting goes. She's had a hard time scoring the ball lately. What do you think about that? Does that sound on or off?
Yeah, and it It shows up definitely in games. I went to the Air Force game, and at the half they had a 12-point lead. And I think through those shooting struggles, that really whittled down toward the end where, you know, they got – where Air Force was able to come back and, you know, push their case right to the end. So I think it has been hindering them, at least most painfully in the close games, because the games you get blown out, well – you know, probably is going to get blown out anyway, but I do think that it is a challenge, especially when, like I was saying with Air Force, you have a big lead, or women's team has a big lead, and it just kind of dwindles because when you get the ball and you can't get the job done, it just
can't run an effective offense.
Yeah,
you can't get good shots.
Yeah, it's it seems, you know, watching the team, it sometimes seems a little, I wouldn't say disorganized, but kind of slow at times to get the open player to give the team options. So I think that's another issue that's going on, is just really making sure that they're creating the option for the person who has the ball. Because they've been caught up numerous times where it just kind of, like a train, comes to a halt when it had been going pretty well up until that point. So I'd say ball movement as well is another issue. So,
yeah. So, I mean, as I said, it's up, down, up and down. I mean, Arizona is one of the, you know, better programs in the country, and they played them close, just barely lost. But then they turn around and get the snot beat out of them by Boise State. So, you know, you don't want to see regression. And then with Air Force, you know, this is a team that's only won two games so far this year. And Not a good result to barely beat that team.
Yeah, especially when, you know, up by double digits at the half. It's like, I mean, it was only 12, so it's not like they were up by like a ton, but, you know, you gotta keep the momentum going.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, second half. And you gotta win those close games. So it's good that they were. I mean, despite the fact that they probably shouldn't have been in a close game with Air Force, they did beat them.
Yeah.
And they found a way to win in a close game, which is really good.
Conference win as well, yeah. Which is good for their standing.
But they just can't really afford to take a step back and let the conference run over them like they have in years past.
But I would say, though, kind of one more thing to add to that is down by the basket, they've got a good, strong presence that they have several options working for them to you know, because they dominated, at least with Air Force, they dominated the rebounding and getting the close layups. So they've got that inside presence that is really helping them out, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, they ended up with equal rebounds with Air Force. But, well, there's probably stretches. I mean, yeah. I wasn't there at the game, but there's probably stretches. One thing that's kind of concerning is they turned the ball over 14 times in that game.
Yeah.
They forced 17 turnovers, which is even worse for Air Force, but that's not a good stat.
Well, I think that goes back to not giving themselves options, because they try to make these passes on occasion when they have trouble moving down the court. They try to make these passes and it just goes right into the hands of the opposition. So I think I suspect that's a part of it, just from what I've seen.
So. Yeah. So I mean, you take a quick look at the stats from the Boise State game. I didn't watch it, but we had 20 turnovers. We forced 13, but we had 20. So that's not a good sign. We also only shot 34%. And so that's not good.
Yeah, it does seem hectic.
Those things will come back and get you. So you have to do better than that. I'm going to quickly – well, I guess we're not looking at that one. Ah, dang it. I was going to look at the Arizona one, but the stats aren't showing up for that game. But I think that's kind of been a trend for a little bit, is that we've turned over the ball a lot. And I'm sure against BYU, as I'm pulling it up, we had a lot. We had 19 turnovers against BYU.
Okay.
Which is entirely too much. I mean, in high school, like you don't want, even in high school, you can't give up that many turnovers and expect to win. I mean, that was the thing that we had a problem with, is we would turn over the ball a lot when I was in high school. And we lost a lot of games because of that, particularly against good teams, because they could convert those into points. with BYU, we turned over the ball a lot there in the fourth quarter down the stretch and gave them a lot of easy buckets as well. So, I mean, that's something that they're going to have to figure out, and they have to do a little bit better. Well, a lot better probably, because honestly, you probably shouldn't have more than about 12 turnovers. I mean, that should be your worst, preferably in single digits. You're going to have some turnovers, but you don't want a lot. And when you're getting 20 or close to 20 in these games, you're going to lose, and you're going to lose big. I mean, we out-rebounded BYU by three, or by one, actually. But we had 14 blocks on them. However, when you have 19 turnovers to 10, it's not going to work in your favor.
Well, sometimes one of the impressions I've got is that at times some of the playmaking is rushed. And so I don't know if there's always the best communication on the floor, which.
And there may not be, and that might be from some of that inexperience, because this is, again, a young team. And I think that's probably the biggest thing, but they got to figure it out quickly.
Oh, they look good. If they're going to compete. I mean, they look good for a lot of, at least the games that I've been to.
Yeah, I mean, they do. They would be a solid team. They're still making these mistakes. Yeah. They can cut those down. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with. And they've made a lot of improvements over the last couple of years. They've continued to step forward, so that's good. And more important now to show it in conference play. And they've got some good teams that they're going to go against. Coming up on tomorrow, they're traveling to New Mexico to take on New Mexico at 7. And then on Saturday, they're going to be in Las Vegas taking on UNLV. New Mexico is 6-6. UNLV is 9-5. And they come back next week and play at the Spectrum on Wednesday and Saturday. Wednesday against Wyoming, Saturday against San Diego State. So hopefully they can cut down those turnovers and get some good results. Switching over to the men's side, the men have also been kind of up and down and been really close in some of these games that they probably shouldn't have lost. So they are 7-7 on the season so far, and you know they have a couple games that you're like, yeah, I guess it makes sense that we didn't win that game. For example, you know, when we played in the Cancun Challenge, we lost to Purdue, one of the top teams in the country, and we also lost to Texas Tech. We didn't play particularly well in either of those games. They weren't really close. But we played well before that against maybe inferior competition. One team that I think seems that people didn't understand is actually a pretty good program is NJIT. They're a pretty good program, and we thoroughly dismantled them. We let them come back a little bit at the end, but we won 94-83. And we didn't play particularly well against BYU. And we'll come up with some stats right here as to why. As my thing decides it's going to play an ad.
It's time for stats is what it was saying.
Yes, we'll go with that. But we shot we shot better than BYU from the field. But free throws, we shot 55%.
Yeah.
Not good. The biggest problem in that game, rebounding. We got out-rebounded 55-31.
That'll do it.
You will rarely win games that way. And the thing about it is we gave up 23 offensive rebounds, which will kill you. We did all right on turnovers, and we had 14, which is a little bit more than you want, really, but it's not. It's far less than, like, 20. But, yeah, that was our big thing in that game. We didn't rebound. We gave up lots of offensive rebounds, and that gave up a lot of second-chance points. We made them miss a lot of shots, but because we decided we weren't going to rebound, it didn't really matter. So that was the big problem in the game against BYU. Moving forward, we did pretty well against Utah Valley. It was a close game. It was a fun game. We actually overtime, went to that. Man. Overtime, for sure. And we were even on rebounds on that one. And it was pretty hard-fought game. It was a good team. And so nothing bad about that one.
Although we did, you know, crush the fandom part of that contest.
If you can say that that was a fandom. But we played well against New Orleans. But then we came and we played against Weber, and we've really struggled during this Christmas break. I think it hasn't helped that we haven't had any fans at these games, but there's other things as well to consider. With Weber, we just couldn't build a lead. You know, we had a hard time. You know, first off, we were playing from behind most of the game.
Yeah, but we can never really get beyond like
2 to 4 points. We'd like tie it up or be close, and then we'd let them pull away a little bit.
Or if we got ahead, it was like by 2.
And then and let we can never get back ahead.
Yeah, never could build that. So.
Yeah, so that happened in that game. We lost a close one there, which don't like losing to Weber, but they are a decent program, so it's not like unforgivable or anything. But then we played against Boise State, another close game. And this is probably the most annoying thing is we shot 96% from the free throw line. We only missed one. We went 26 of 27. And the biggest problem there, we just couldn't rebound off of a free throw. We couldn't rebound off of a free throw miss. And it was the worst thing. I mean, we'd have 3-on-2 or 4-on-2 and 3-on-1 situations, and we would still let them get the free throw. I mean, we were playing catch-up, so we were playing the free throw game where we foul them and hope that they miss free throws. And they did miss a few, but then we let them get the rebound. So it really shot us in the leg and was quite terrible. And it's particularly bad because we actually shot free throws well in that game, which we never do. Except we went 91% against Air Force, so I guess maybe we are starting to do it. That'd be nice. Be a nice change.
It would be.
And then against Air Force, Air Force is actually a lot better than I thought they were going to be. They've been one of the lesser teams in the Mountain West for a little while, but they are getting better. They're a good team. It wasn't a bad loss. It might look like that from the outset, but
it also helped that they got a big lead early, though.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the problem is they spotted them 15 points before they decided they were going to score.
Yeah.
They give up a 15-0 run to start the game. So Utah State was playing from behind the entire way. And
so you get rid of that spotting the 15 points. That could have been a totally different game if the pace had kept when they finally did get into it.
Yeah, and then you also had the problem at the end of the game. Well, first off, Jalen Moore played really well in the first half. And he kind of disappeared for most of the second half, which is concerning. And then Shane Rector, we're going to go to him for a second because Classic Shane decided he wasn't going to pass the ball at the end of the game.
Classic Shane.
Classic Shane. So, in this game, I'm pulling up his stats so that I can give them to you correctly. He ended up with 6 points. He shot 2 of 9 from the field, but 0 for 4 from the three-point line. So, he hadn't made a three all game. He was 0 for 3. And there was a little time left, and they had a chance to tie it. And Shane, being the Shane that he is, decided that he didn't need a pass to Kobe McEwen, who, by the way, was 5 for 9 from the three-point line and on fire, doing a great job. Him or Sam Merrill, who was 3 for 6, or Jalen, who was 5 for 10. You know, these guys hitting a lot of threes.
Don't use your options.
He didn't want to pass to any of them. He dribbled around, wasted some time, and then launched up a deep three over, like, with a defender in his face. And obviously he missed. But people will often talk about how this is a young team, we need time to develop. I mean, that's partially true. We got a lot of young players. But it's the guys who were supposed to be the leaders, the seniors.
Yeah, because Shane's been here
that are,
a few years now.
Right? Well, this is his second year here, but he's a senior. And he and, you know, Jalen disappeared in the second half, didn't do a whole lot, and he had a great first half, but he disappeared in the second half, and Shane decided he was going to pull that crap. And it's just like, yeah, this is a young team, but the players who are causing problems are the older ones. When you got those two that are not making the plays that they need to, it's a problem. Now, Jalen, he had 21 points, but I think about you know, 15 or 16 of those came in the first half. And like I said, it kind of disappeared after that. But, I mean, the most egregious thing was Shane just not passing it, especially where Kobe McEwen had hit, like, four threes in the second half. You know, he was just killing it from the three-point line. You know, he didn't hit as many in the first half, but he did well in the second half. But we didn't want – Shane wouldn't pass him the ball and try to find him – try to find – set someone up for a three. Instead, he tries to play hero and dribble around. Instead of, you know, just going up and pulling up for a three, which I would have preferred, instead of dribbling around for 5 seconds and then, like, wasting all that time, if you're going to shoot the three, just go and pull up on it. I don't think you should, but if you're going to do it, don't waste the time. And so Kobe, I think, is really kind of coming into his own. I think he's poised to take over this team. He's doing a great job, I think, being the kind of player we hoped he would be.
It hasn't taken him long to adjust at all to
no, it hasn't. Playing
Division One.
I mean, he led the team in scoring with 22 in this game. So I really wish Shane would have given him the ball or, well, a number of different guys. You know, Sam Merrill or Jalen, one of those guys you should have passed to them. He hadn't hit a three. He hadn't shot well all game, but he just wanted to take it for himself. So it was a bit frustrating. And I was kind of angry because that pretty much that sealed it. We ended up losing. They hit a couple more free throws and then won the game. So it's just frustrating because we've got a lot of talent, but we're not putting it together, and particularly our seniors are not putting it together. Again, Jalen Moore had a great first half. He looked really good, and he's looked really good through sections through most of the games. However, he just disappears at times. You don't find him. He doesn't score for huge stretches, and he doesn't contribute a lot. I mean, he does a solid job defensively, so it's not like his guy's going off or anything, but he doesn't do anything that helps the team, like, kind of get a boost, which you'd kind of expect from him as a leader. Again, it's not that he's doing bad things. I just don't feel like he's doing enough, and I think that it's kind of really hurting the team because he's disappearing. So that's kind of my take. What do you think about that?
Well, obviously one of the biggest issues, going back to the free throws, I mean, I know everybody's been talking about it, but it really, you know, there are a couple games, particularly home losses, where just a few more made free throws.
Yeah.
And, you know, totally different ending to that scenario. So obviously that's one of the biggest things. You know, I also see a lot of positives, though. I think Janicek has come in and has really gotten us to be more inside. And I think we have been.
Yeah, he's a great inside presence.
Yeah. And
unfortunately, I think he's been sick the last three games.
Yeah, and I don't remember seeing him much in the Weber game. I mean, he played, obviously, but I just don't remember him leaving much of an impression that game.
Yeah, and then he for sure had strep throat the next game, but he was like kind of recovering from it. And I think, and that was against Boise, so he didn't play much there. And he didn't play much against Air Force, so he might still be recovering from that. But yeah, maybe with him, they beat those teams. They got to find ways to win these close games. Yeah. You know, because that's where a lot of these games in the Mountain West are going to come down to, is close games at the end finishes. And we got to find ways to get it done, and we haven't yet.
But when he's on the court, you know,
I mean, I guess we did against UVU. We have done it a couple times, but we're also letting
games but get even away. But even with the UVU game, I go back to the free throws because even if you made it, that wouldn't have needed to go into overtime.
That's true.
But yeah, he's a great presence close to the basket. You know, I've seen a lot of guys get put on him. There's really nobody that he hasn't been able to handle getting around. There's no defender that I don't think he's had too much trouble with, as far as I've seen. You know, shooting, at least from the three, you know, it's good to see that we've got some strong three-point shooters, because I think that's definitely helped us a lot. It seems to be there more than it was last year, together behind the three.
I do hope that we don't fall in love with it and that we only want to take threes.
Yeah.
But when we're open, we have the guys to knock it down, and that's always good.
But I think with Janicek, you know, down closer to the basket, I think that'll lessen the temptation to rely on that.
I mean, yeah, and also, like, if you utilize him frequently, you know, the defense has to suck in a little bit because he's a good inside player, and he can kick it out for threes, and it's better to catch and shoot a three from a kick out than it is for, like, necessarily, like, one guard to another. It's always a better setup because you're already squared to the basket. You're ready to go. So they should definitely utilize him a lot.
I love being able to feel good when we have guys come off the bench too to come in the game.
Yeah.
We're not starter heavy, especially guys like Merrill, who is fantastic coming off the bench. So it's nice to know that there's some depth to the team. And I think if we just improve the things we have to improve on, it could be a much stronger team even than what we've seen.
Yeah, and hopefully we're working through these kind of issues that we've been having and that we get past those so that, you know, we continue to get better as the season goes on, and so we're rolling by the time we get to the tournament. And hopefully we have a decent seed so it's not as tough of a trip. But, you know, hopefully we get rolling by that time and we're able to possibly compete for the championship in the tournament. You know, and maybe, I mean, it's not out of the question to say we could potentially get to, like, to win the regular season championship. I don't know that that's likely this year, but it's not out of the realm of possibilities yet.
Yeah, but like you said, as long as it's all together, at least by the conference tournament, then it's like, okay,
yeah.
If we just go on kind of a hot streak and we keep it up, we could at least try for something, you know?
Because honestly, I mean, if we win the regular season but we don't win the conference, it wouldn't really matter. So I'd much rather win the conference tournament because you get an automatic bid into the NCAA tournament and you get to see how the team fares against, you know, another team that we wouldn't normally see. And I think that we can get there. I think we've got the talent. We've just got to put it together a little bit better in some of these spots. But the good thing is against a couple teams, we lost by 3 to Boise State, and we lost by there was 5? No,
two.
Three, no.
To who, though?
Air Force.
Oh.
It was 5, yeah, 5 points. So we beat them, or we lost to them by 5 points, and those are two solid teams. So it's not like we're getting blown out or that we're not competing. We just have to find ways to finish games, and if we can do that, we'll be in great shape.
Yeah. The ingredients are there, you know. It's all there if it just comes together the right way.
True dat. So, in our NFL picks, season's over now.
Yeah.
We're gonna pick the playoffs though, because we can, and we have a better chance of actually, you know, doing something here. I don't know if Evan has the numbers for the season. I think I won because we didn't even pick the last 2 weeks.
I will double check. I thought we picked the last, not the this past week, but I think the one before that. I could be wrong, but
we'll check that next time. It doesn't really matter. As we can find out for sure who won. I think I did, but I think it was close, a lot closer than I would have liked. Because not because I think that I should have beat you by a bunch, but I think I should have done better.
Yeah.
So. So yeah, we're gonna go over these picks. The most boring playoff game that we'll probably have this year: the Texans host the Raiders. Houston is a 3.5-point favorite. I say this is the most boring because you got a quarterback barn burner between Brock Osweiler and Connor Cook.
Yeah, it's just like
who hasn't started yet. Who hasn't started yet? He came in the game against the Broncos because Matt McGloin got injured, but he hasn't started an NFL game. But he's starting in a playoff game.
It's not exactly confidence building.
But I will say that he actually looked pretty good against the Broncos. He looked like he knows what he's doing and he's solid. So, I mean, I was kind of pleasantly surprised by that. I actually thought that he was one of the most pro-ready quarterbacks that were in the draft because, you know, he played in a pro-style offense at Michigan State, and, you know, he was the winningest coach in Michigan State history, or winningest quarterback, not coach, in Michigan State history. And I think he had a bunch of other records and stuff. I thought he would you know, he'd be good. I kind of wanted the Broncos to draft him. He fell to the Raiders in like the third round or something, or fourth or whatever. So, well, I mean, we'll see what happens. But I was pleasantly surprised by him. On the other side, you got Brock Osweiler, who got benched because of how bad he was playing. 72 million regrets for Houston Texans fans and ownership, probably. But but the guy who replaced him, Tom Savage, who actually played really well in the game he got put in for, has a concussion, so he's not going to play.
Well, this is so, just fantastic.
The Texans are 3.5-point favorites.
I'm going to give it to Oakland. I just think they've played all season in a tougher division. I just think they're used to a little bit better regular competition. So, yeah, granted, they've got a quarterback who hasn't started, but I think the rest of the team could probably pick up any slack.
I'm kind of torn on this. The Raiders do have a lot of good players, particularly on offense. If Connor Cook has a decent game, I think that the Raiders probably win that one. But it's no guarantee. It's, I mean, it's his first playoff game. You got Osweiler, who's going to get his first playoff game too. And he's played better at home, which is where they're going to be. So I'm kind of torn on it. 3.5 points. I'm going to have to... I don't know. This is... It's going to be a boring game, but I don't know who's going to win it. I'll go with the Raiders too, I think. Because... Again, I think that Connor Cook will do well enough to, for them to win. But I think it'll be a pretty boring game. also on Saturday, so that was on Saturday at 2:35 on ABC, which is interesting. An ABC game.
Yeah.
Next up, the Seahawks host the Lions at 6:15 on NBC on Saturday. Seattle is an 8-point favorite.
Yeah, I think... Well,
8 points.
8 points.
That's the thing.
Because I think a touchdown is reasonable at this, but obviously there's the extra little bit to make up. You know, I think the Lions keep it within 7. So the Lions win that spread, but they're not going to – I don't think they'll win the game, mostly because it's at Seattle. So.
I am tempted to kind of think along the same lines. However, I'm going to go with the Seahawks. I think that they'll play better and win by at least 10. So there's that. Then on to the next day on Sunday, the Steelers host the Dolphins on CBS at 11:05. Pittsburgh is a 10-point favorite over the Dolphins.
And Roethlisberger is healthy?
Yeah.
Okay. Then, yeah, I'm going to give it to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Roethlisberger and Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. I just don't know how you pick against them. It's a big spread, though. So I'm tempted to go with the Dolphins on the spread, but go with the Steelers on the win. But I'm going to have to go with the Steelers. I just think that the Dolphins aren't good enough to compete with them when they're healthy and clicking, and they have been clicking lately. I mean, you look at last week, the Steelers barely beat the Browns in overtime. But, to be fair, they were playing their field crew. So, the Browns were playing their starters. The Pittsburgh Steelers were playing their field crew. So, that's fun. Last up for this week, they have the Packers hosting the Giants on Fox at 2:40. The Packers are a 5-point favorite. Tricky, tricky, tricky.
Yeah. And I got to say, the chances of it being close enough for the team to win a spread but not the game, I just don't have much confidence in that. I say Packers win by a touchdown, so I'll pick them on that.
Could be. I'm going to go with the Giants. I don't think the Packers have enough of a running game to win it, so... I think the Giants win it. I'm going to go along with my doomsday pick.
Doomsday.
But, yeah, so anything else you want to share with the class?
Nah.
All right. Well, we want to thank you guys for tuning in. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, jokes, If you want to tell us your opinion about things.
Hidden strange talents.
Hidden strange talents. Hit us up at USU Bullpen on Twitter. You can also email us usubullpen@gmail.com. You can also find me, Ethan Chadwick, at EthanChadwick15 on Twitter. You can find Evan over here at EvanHall62 on Twitter. Once again, thanks for listening. Have a good one. And Happy New Year.
Peace.
This has been another edition of the Bullpen Podcast on Aggie Radio.
Catch us on AggieRadio.com and on Twitter at USU Bullpen.